Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for Deathclaws and all of Bakersfield. This is Parker. I am joined by a dash of Cumulus.
Hello, hello. It's good to be here with you, Parker.
Hello,
Parker
hello.
Mansky.
Did you ever hear that thing from the Howard Stern show where their producer made this VHS tape about how he was in love with this girl who broke up with him, and then they found it and played it on the air?
No, I didn't. I watched a bit of Howard Stern when he was on E! Exclamation point Entertainment Network.
That was the best of times.
Yeah, and I don't remember this, so enlighten me.
Well, it's on YouTube. It's just very funny. He starts it up by saying, hello, hello. That reminded me of it.
When he's trying to reconcile with this woman that he was in love with?
Yeah, he says, hello, hello. And then he keeps saying stuff like, I miss you, dude. I want you back, dude. It's very funny.
Well, that's how you know it's true love.
That is true.
I miss you, dude. I've been doing double greetings all day. I wouldn't say all week, but all day. I was walking out to a restaurant for lunch and encountered a couple of dudes who were filming stuff nearby. And I was like, hey, hey. Well, that was more of a Krusty the Clown sort of engagement. It wasn't like, hello, hello, but I was like, hey, hey. And I asked them what kind of camera they had and all that kind of stuff.
What kind of camera was it? A cool one?
It was pretty cool. It was a JVC. It was they called it they were being modest. It was it's a cheap JVC. It was the cheapest we could afford, but it was still really high tech. Had all those lens functions that I have no idea what the fuck they do, you know, where it's it looks very mechanical in how numeric it is. It's this part will change the focus and this part will change the autofocus and this part will change the lens focus. What makes it look good? That's where I ask my questions.
Did you beat them up and take their equipment?
Hell yeah, brother. Nice. That's what I did. I got that JVC camp. No, I didn't. I went to lunch instead. I'm like, thanks, guys. And I walked on my merry way. Had fried pork chops and all that good shit. Listen, I don't have time to beat people up and take their cameras, and that seems awful rude too.
That's true, but I do feel like the information you gained from these guys will pay off in the third act, you know?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I thought when I was greeting them. This is probably paid off in the third act.
That's how I go through my entire life, just hoping things either are going to pay off in the third act or are paying off now in the final third act of my life.
Yeah, or if you're a reader, the last two chapters. Because I just, yeah. You remember that book I was talking about, the one about the surfers?
Yeah.
I just finished it today. It took me all ghoul summer to read it. Mm-hmm. And holy shit, was it ever fucking ghoulish. Man, it is, half of that book is basically, I will spit on your grave. I was not expecting that. It was awful. I just felt so fucking bad, you know?
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was a real bummer. But it got better, and I'm kind of doing that emoticon of a guy shrugging, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the girl gets her fucking revenge and whatnot, but holy shit, man, it was depressing as hell. And the last two chapters kind of redeem it, but not really. So that's why I was bringing that up. The last two chapters, it's going to come in handy. But, if the rest of your life is like that fucking book, God, why bother? It's fucking terrible.
I hear that. I look forward to the last two chapters and books because usually I'm reading Bret Easton Ellis books. And those are the last two chapters in his books are the ones that are subtly ghoulish. You're already past the brain eating and the nipple tortures and stuff. And the
vagina rats.
Yeah, vagina rats and the people's insides coming out of their butthole and planes exploding. And people.
Yeah, I remember all of those actually.
Yeah, they're all so good. And then the last two chapters are the people just realizing that even though they're past those things in life, like, things are only going to get worse. So that's why I like Bret Easton Ellis.
Yeah, you can appreciate that. I still need to read Luna Park. And, geez, Rules of Attraction, less than zero. I've got an entire library of this stuff to read.
You got to go read them. You got to read Less Than Zero and then the newish one, Imperial Bedrooms. I think that one is so super good. But anyway,
oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
It's like really super short too, but I love it. I've read it like 8 times. It's so good. Anywho, that was Bret Easton Ellis chat.
Yeah. Not even book chat. It was just devoted to one author. How about that?
Yeah, he's so good. He's got a new movie out too, which is like really good as well.
What's the movie?
The Curse of Downer's Grove.
Yeah, I didn't keep up with that.
Yeah, it's like the WB version of Straw Dogs. It's pretty good.
All right. Why not? I mean, I've been doing some ghoulish shit all summer. Is Ghoul Summer over? I heard Kissing Contest on Podcast Town was saying that it was.
Yeah, they did like little half of a Ghoul Summer episode, and I think that was the closing ceremonies.
All right, cool.
You know, Junk Food Dinner starts it off, Kissing Contest closes it. That's how we do it in Podcast Town. That's how we do with Ghoul Summer.
That sounds about right, because today I went to a Spirit Halloween store that just opened.
Yeah, you can't have Ghoul Summer when Halloween decorations are out. That's when you know it's like the official end. No more. Although you can still buy the shirt. I still pray to God you buy the shirt any time of year you want to. But as far as being obligated to watch movies where centipedes crawl around in people's buttholes, you can call it quits once the Halloween decorations come out.
Yeah. I heard some people talking about, like, fall officially begins when pumpkin spice lattes appear. And, okay, sure, why not? But also, it's when Spirit Halloween stores appear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the more important one. Like, that's my signifier. And they've bumped up their game pretty heavily. Like, they've got these display sets now where it's like Spirits Haunted Swamp and Spirits Infected Area for zombie shit. They're pretty into it, and it's pretty intense. I don't know if you have a Spirits in California. Do you?
I'm not sure if it's Spirits necessarily, but there are 2 or 3 Halloween stores in my town, yeah.
That pop up around the holiday?
Yeah. They're pretty cool, too. They're pretty all right.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad that you have those. They seem to brand themselves pretty well here in, throughout the east of the Mississippi and kind of west of Mississippi, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slurring. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's all right. You know, it's Friday night. You get to do what you want.
You gotta get loose. You gotta get loose as a goose. Anyway, they brand themselves pretty well. So they're making some headway with their displays and whatnot. Pretty good.
Nice. Yeah, I think I might go check out one tomorrow. I want to see how much Freddy stuff is there. Because I was talking on the Junk Fod Diner show a while back about how I'm okay with, like, anybody remaking Freddy movies all the time. Like, give me, like, 8 Freddy remakes a year. I don't care. I just want there to be a bunch of Freddy stuff. And if there's a ton of Freddy movies out, then there'll be a ton more Freddy toys at Halloween stores. Because last time I went, there was, like, a couple of Freddy things. You know, they, like, had, like, the glove and the mask. But, like, they didn't have all the kitschy Freddy horse shit that I love, you know? Like, there were no Freddy shot glasses. There were no Freddy Pez suspend. dispensers, you know, like, I want all that kind of shit.
Yeah, I was looking for, like, kid shit too, but this place got real serious real quick. Like, I guess I would have expected the Freddy phone from the original Friday the 13th. I blew it.
Oh no.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
The original Nightmare on Elm Street had that Freddy phone where he, like, makes out with the person on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And they had phones there, like creepy phones, but they didn't have, like, any other kitschy shit. The kitschiest shit they had was a Hello Kitty trick-or-treat container for candy.
That sounds cute, though.
It's cute, and it's kitschy, but they didn't have that for anything else. Like, everything else was super fucking scary. Like, dolls that would follow you. Like, if you walk by them, they would, like, follow your steps and shit.
That's too scary.
It was real spooky. And plain mask faces with blood splattered over them, or human adult baby faces. I don't know how to explain it. It was really creepy.
Like John Cena.
Yeah, like John Cena. Like the creepiest man baby face.
Mm-hmm.
Like Boogie Boy from Devo. It was like Mark Mothersbaugh with that baby mask on with his glasses over it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Real creepy. Real crappy, real spoopy.
Sounds too creepy.
Too spoopy to live, too creepy to die.
Mm-hmm. speaking of crappy spoopy, what should we get into first? We have a lot of things planned, Mr. Frisbee. More things than normal. We got segments. People, yeah, if you are into segments while you listen to podcasts, we got you covered tonight, family.
Holy shit, fam. You got it in spades. This is the best one for segments. We've got fucking TV Hostage up first. Totally original segment. Play that theme music.
I don't have it queued up.
All right, I'll put it in post. This is where it goes.
I'm sorry.
TV Hostage. I picked three movies. TV. That you've never seen,
right?
And you
right.
Pick three TV movies that I've never seen, and we force each other to watch at least one of them. And if you don't watch them, you get shot in the face.
TV
Hostage. All right, so we've got TV Hostage, a totally original segment. It's fucking balls to the wall. You heard the intro. If you don't watch it, whatever you pick, you get shot in the face, right?
Yeah, I picked three TV shows you've never watched. You pick three TV shows I've never watched. We settle on one to watch, and then we watch either the first episode, if it's an hour-long show, or the first two episodes. Or, I mean, it doesn't really have to be the first. Preferably, I feel, the first. But
yeah, I think that sets the tone most times. Even if it's like a sucky episode, you kind of know what you're going into.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard to be like, oh, you know, watch season 7, episode 4. The one where,
yeah,
you know, Spike comes back and he's, you know, got a soul. And it's like, oh, but that doesn't make sense if you haven't seen the rest of the fucking series. And, you know,
exactly. So. Yeah. Like, it doesn't resonate. The context isn't there.
Yeah.
You can't quite go through it. I agree.
It's easier if we have, like, you know, like comedy shows. Comedy shows, I think you can just, skip ahead to wherever.
You know, brother, do I ever have comedy? Well, actually, no. I'm looking over this list again. One of them's not a comedy show. But the other ones are, brother.
Nice.
All right.
All right. I'll give you these three choices first.
Okay.
Or do you want to give your choices first?
I
feel like you've teased them by saying that they're...
Yeah, I did. All right. I'll do mine first.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes.
First one up is the new Hulu TV series that I misappropriated to people with, well, people who don't exist, difficult people.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about this before. It's new. It's got my favorite comedians, Billy Eichner on it, Julie Klausner's on it, and I think it's very funny. Cameos from other comedians are there. Even people like Martin Short. It's only a few episodes in, and you don't have to have a Hulu Plus account to watch it. So that's my first pick. It's about two... let me give you a synopsis, actually. It's two, as the title suggests, difficult people.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, that means two struggling comedians living in New York. Mostly it looks like Manhattan, like they're not dicking around in Brooklyn and shit. They're trying to make it, and they don't know what that means. They just get the feeling that, like, once they make it, they'll know how it feels. So their way of getting there is by being popular on Twitter,
which is probably actually the way to make it.
Might be, but they're not very good at it. And actually, for the first episode in this case, it was very controversial recently. So that might be of interest to you.
Mm-hmm.
As one of them tries to get popular on Twitter and fails miserably, and her joke resonated across the interwebs. The real IRL interwebs.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
Which is so why, yeah, I'm so far, I know that there hasn't been any competition yet, but I'm leaning towards that because I like any show where, you know, it pisses people off, which is every show nowadays, I guess. But
yeah, and this one in particular.
What's next?
Next up is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Have you seen this?
I have not, but I've heard things.
Okay. I should mention that Difficult People was headed by Amy Poehler as producer.
Mm-hmm.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt was headed by Tina Fey as producer. Oh, so you've got two of like the leading ladies of comedy already.
Mm-hmm.
And fair warning with this show, like the first 8 episodes of this or so are golden. I think it's some of the best in fucking TV. And the first episode of this gives you the entire rundown of what happens with this Kimmy Schmidt character. You get the idea from the theme song, but also the first episode runs her through the gamut. And I know you like that fallout, right?
Hell yeah.
So imagine somebody who grew up thinking that the world outside had ended and that, you know, she had to grow up in a vault and stuff. And then to find out that the world did not end. So she gets out of the vault, but everything's okay. What would that be like?
I think it would be like that Brendan Fraser movie from 1998, Blast from the Past.
Yeah, you might be right. You're pretty close, except Dave Foley's not in it, so you're already wrong.
It's a bad sign.
That is kind of rough. The next one that I have up, have you seen Terriers?
No, I know you've been hipping me on it for a long time, though.
Okay, yeah, it's a Donald Logue video. Excuse me. It's a Donald Logue vehicle.
Nice.
Thanks.
Same difference.
Thanks for that recap. He is a detective, a private investigator, actually, in San Diego. He used to be a detective, but he was too drunk to do his job, like me. And he has a friend who helps him out. His partner in justice, I guess you could say, is somebody that he booked when he was still on the force. But now they work together to use some nefarious means to figure out some crimes and whatnot. Those are your choices. I do have a backup in case none of those sound too good.
Well, that would defeat the rules of the game. Because then okay, I would just get then shot in the face.
Those are your three choices.
Okay. Well, I hate to do this because I know you've been wanting me to watch Terriers for like a very long time.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever you want to do, bud.
I'm going to go with the Kimmy Schmidt because I heard it was cool. And I'm playing Fallout right now and I'm in Fallout mode. And I want to see more about this show that's sort of like Fallout.
To be honest, yeah. I didn't want to compare it too much to Blast from the Past with Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
Although it kind of has some elements of it, except that Blast from the Past, that was a lot like fucking Boyna's Dog. Do you remember that? We were talking about this beforehand.
Yeah.
Boyna's Dog.
That's a good movie.
They have that vault underground society.
Yeah.
That where it's all like picaresque where, you know, they have the fields and whatnot. And Blast from the Past was a lot like that too, where they had like the fake fields and whatnot and they could, you know, the fake home life.
Mm-hmm.
Kimmy Schmidt's stuff is not like that. And, you know, it's a different approach.
Okay. Well, I'm into it. I'll do it.
I think you'll like it. I think you'll dig it quite a bit. You have to get past, like, the first cold open. And really, that's it. Kind of takes off on its own after that.
Cool. I like that broad. She was funny on The Office.
Yeah, she really is. She's awesome. What do you got?
I got three things for you. The first one is a show that I've been watching. It's called Entourage. Maybe you've heard of it.
I think I heard about this. I remember what it was. It played before every fucking movie I watched this summer that they had their own film coming out. Is that correct?
That's true. Have you seen the show before?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, you have seen it?
Yeah, like parts of episodes.
Oh, like never like a full episode? Like, have you seen enough to where you've seen, like, you feel like you're comfortable and you know what the show is?
Maybe. Yeah, I kind of feel like I have.
All right, get out of here, Entourage. I got a backup.
Okay, cool.
My backup is Son of the Beach. You ever see that?
Yeah, I have not seen this show.
All right, this is a show that was on FX a long time ago. Timothy Stack, who once tweeted me, and it was like my proudest day. He co-created this show with Howard Stern, and he is a genius. You may remember him from Parker Lewis. It's like kind of a spoof of Baywatch and like kind of a spoof of like 50s and 60s surf movies and like kind of a spoof of like Hawaii Five-0.
Yes.
And there's like a lot of puns and titties.
I remember advertisements for this show, and I'm like, this looks really funny, but I never saw it.
Yeah, it's super funny. A lot of people like Gilbert Gottfried and Corey Feldman and stuff showed up. I got the first season on DVD, but I need to get the second season. It's super funny. So that's one of them.
Cool. Okay, I'm into it.
The next one is Fernwood Tonight. You know about that show?
Yes, I do. Tom Waits was on that show.
You watch it a lot? Are you familiar with it?
Just that Tom Waits episode.
Okay.
I saw the Tom Waits interview where he pulls a bottle of beer out of his jacket pocket. And I forget the guy's name. God, the guy who played Colonel Mustard in fucking Clue.
Martin Mull.
Martin Mull, thank you. He says, I didn't expect that you'd have a bottle in front of you during this interview. And Tom Waits replies with, rather a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. That's a really funny joke.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but that's all I've seen of the fucking show. I don't know anything else about it. I just watch that YouTube clip.
Cool. Well, it's a fun show. I used to watch it. Like, they used to show it on Nick at Night, like, back in the super olden days when Nick at Night was just, like, this show and, like, My Three Sons and Patty Duke.
Damn it. I really missed out.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that I missed out because I haven't seen anything else outside of that. And okay. So you got that show, too?
Yeah, that show is the second one. It's like a fake talk show. It's pretty funny. At least I remember it being funny. Maybe it's not anymore, but...
Oh, who's the other fucking guy? Like, the other guy's Fred Willard, right?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, I'm really into this.
All right. And it's like a fake talk show set in the fictional city of Fernwood, Ohio, which is cool.
That's even cooler. Like, yeah. Our home state.
Yeah. The third one is Rock of Love. The greatest, most influential show of all time. It's no secret that I love Rock of Love and Flavor of Love, and I love money. Like, I'm legit... Like all jokes aside, like, I'm legitimately sadder in life that they don't make these shows anymore. Like, it really feels like I have nothing to look forward to in life now that they don't happen. And I'm being completely serious. They were on for, like, a span of, like, 5 years or something. And they were just on constantly. Like, it would just be like some shitty old celebrity trying to have sex with a bunch of slutty broads. And then half of those slutty broads would get spinoff shows where, like, they would have losers trying to have sex with them. And then those losers would get their own spinoff shows. And it was insane. It was just the best.
It was magical.
It was.
I remember.
Yeah. So Rock of Love.
I didn't mean to laugh so hard. I just like the earnestness of your admission with this. Because I know this for a fact from you. Like, back when I would pop by when you still lived over at, near Wayne Avenue, like, you would have this shit on sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I was always impressed. I'm like, are you watching this ironically? And it's like, no, I love this. Okay.
Yeah, I love it so much. Yeah, me and Jono, like, we were just, like, eating like our one like brownie that we had for the day, because like we were like super poor, so we were like walked to the store and buy like a Faygo and a brownie and like try to not die. And we started watching Flavor of Love, which I think Flavor of Love was before Rock of Love, but I like Rock of Love a little bit more.
Right on.
And yeah, like we just started watching this, like, nothing else is on, let's watch this. And then like 7 hours later we were like, this is the greatest shit of all time. Like, there's no going back. Like, this has changed our lives.
So, well, honestly, like, out of all those choices, while I really want to watch Fernwood tonight, I know this might infringe upon the idea of this podcast that, like, we're very good friends, yet there's parts of each other that we don't know that much about. I really want to know more about your love of Rock of Love, if that makes sense.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, too. If that's available, I want to watch Rock of Love. And get more of a hold on the reins of what this show is about. Because I, hand to God, like, I never watched any of these. I don't know what to call it, like, celebrity dating Yeah. Celebrity marriage. What was it? What was the end goal?
They would like be together. Like it was like a very vague, at the end you can be together sort of a thing, but it never worked out. Like by the start of the second season, they had already broke up, clearly.
Yeah. Celebrity love, I guess, is what it is.
Yeah.
I want to know more about what these shows are about, because I never watched any of them. The ones that I watched were probably like the family reality shows. I had some members of my own family that were into like Gene Simmons' Family Jewels and Hogan Knows Best and stuff like that.
Yeah, Hogan. I never watched Gene Simmons' show because he's like a piece of crap. But I like that Hulk Hogan show. That was on VH1 too. So that was under this banner of celeb reality, the VH1 brand. So that was good stuff. But yeah, I think these are on Hulu. I think like the first two seasons are on Hulu or something. So sadly, these are not all on DVD, which fucking breaks my heart every single day.
I can understand. Like if it's your favorite thing, then obviously. I wouldn't be able to deal with it. My favorite thing came out on DVD this week, Fury Road.
Nice. That's so a good favorite thing.
Totally into fucking that thing. Still finding out stuff about that movie that I did not realize upon first watch, and I'm excited to watch it multiple times over, as to the chagrin of many men's right activists in Podcast Town.
Yeah, men's rights city as a part of Podcast Town, the borough, is just going nuts this week. So everybody's happy about Mad Max, but then there are guys out there in Podcast Town talking about, I don't think women should be equal to men. I don't think they should be able to vote. I don't like Mad Max, you know? And it's like, oh, I think, you know, women should be like...
seen and not heard.
Yeah, they should not be able to go to school or drive, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty gross. Mm-hmm. I don't know why anybody would disassociate themselves with that film, but whatevs. Whatevs, you know?
Mm-hmm. Whatevs, Shelby Cobras. We see you.
Yeah, we see you, bro.
Yeah. Get money. Get 100% of money to every woman, 77% of money.
Exactly. Get that, break that glass ceiling, bro.
Yeah.
When you go out to the bar with your friends, do they strike you as not goofy enough? Are you annoyed by their lack of fascination with lizard people Illuminati? Do they not Chow Yun Chat? Are they more shit than hit? Then you need to befriend the internet's goofiest pals. Go to illogicalcontraption.com or search them on iTunes.
Believe in the impossible.
We got a Gmail this week. You can Gmail us at poolpartyradio@email.com. And yeah, we got an email from Greg. I don't have it open. Do you have it open right now?
I think so. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got an email from him. It says, what is your opinion of ASMR videos? I first heard about them on Mysterious Universe and looked at one out of morbid curiosity. It was weird, but I was hooked. I find them relaxing. But then I see a video of Michael Swaim from Cracked saying that it's just porn. What say you? I haven't seen this Michael Swaim video, but I think he's super funny. He helped invent the word Big Feetsman.
Yeah, and also, well, not to spoil it for the person who wrote in, but I will anyway. Dracula. It's not just an affectation of Arkansas slang. That was Michael Swaim saying, greeting himself as Dracula on the phone, but in a half awake state. So he says, Dracula. Dracula, which I always appreciated. I love those videos.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. But yeah,
he's super funny.
I never heard of ASMR. Well, I've heard of ASMR. I've never seen one. I heard of them. The only reason I've heard of them is because a friend of the show, Jesse P.S. from the Pad Apples show, Pad Apples podcast, he did this whole thing where he hated on these ASMR people for a long time, and I thought that was funny. But I've never like seen one. I don't really know what the deal is. Do you know about them, Mr. Frisbee?
Yeah, other friends of the show, Badland Girls, talked about them and did an episode where they talked about them a bit. It was pretty funny. They were kind of having fun with the idea and talked about ones that they liked and whatnot. But yeah, it's mostly, from what I understand, it's mostly people like whispering, people with nice voices, just kind of whispering to the camera about kind of mundane shit that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't get how that's porn yet, but I haven't watched many all the way through to really judge it. I think I've watched one.
Yeah, well, I was kind of wondering it, like, while watching these, like, I wasn't sure if, like they say that they're, like, just there to relax you, but, I mean, you can also, like, go get a relaxing massage that ends in getting your wiener tugged around until you jizz them.
So, I've heard about this.
Yeah, they do that in these crazy cities. So I didn't know if it was, like, thinly veiled porn or not, like, because, like, it's, like, most, like, it'll be, like, real close on a person's face while they whisper all these, like, sweet nothings to you. And so, yeah, I thought maybe it was vaguely porny. But you said you saw one that was made by an actual porn lady, though. So that leads.
Yeah, she advertised herself as a porn actress. But her thing was about anxiety disorder. And so I was like, this is interesting. And searching these out, that was unexpected. I didn't expect someone to be that multifaceted.
So you like these. You found them to relax you. Like, it's ladies whispering and then talking about, oh, I'm touching your ears. You're so nice. I like you. Like,
it wasn't that, actually. It was just, and when you mentioned, like, the sweet nothings, I would say that's a good example. But in this case, it was actually just, like, don't worry about the outside world. It was that kind of stuff. Like, very general shit. Like,
yeah.
As far as being one of the most relaxing things, yeah, it was pretty relaxing. But I didn't find it at all pornographic either. Like, there was whispering, and it was calming, but it wasn't, like, arousing.
Okay. Did you get tingles? A lot of people say that they can get tingles while this happens, like magic tingles all around their body.
No, I was already pretty depressed and tired.
Okay. A lot of these I hated. A lot of these actually, like, made me less relaxed because it's like, I saw this one that was like an hour and a half long of, like, this bald dude who, like, the name of the video was, like, no talking, just sounds. But, like, the son of a bitch was, like, whisper talking, like, the whole time. Like, the whole time he was like, you know, crinkly shirt. And then he would do crinkly shirt, you know?
So I see that would piss me off because the video is titled No Talking, Just Sounds. And he's announcing the shit. So that would, I would be, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't,
I,
like,
would be annoyed.
Yeah. A lot of these, like, it was like people, like, touching books and stuff, which was, like, just upsetting me. And, like, you know, like a guy, like, hitting two blocks of wood together. And, like, I didn't care for that. But then I found this one that I sent to you where it's just a lady opening up a box of magic cards.
Right on. Yeah. Shall we play some of this?
Yeah, I'm going to play a little bit of this.
You learn something new every day.
Here, like, take a listen. Swap.
And
I don't know, she's not really saying anything right now, but
the gods returned feelings.
She is whispering, though.
She is whispering. She's...
Okay.
So but, that's Carol, that's Daryl, that's Rick.
Yeah.
That's Glenn, and that is...
So it's just her reading the names of these magic cards.
Okay.
And then, like, and then, like, tapping them with her fingernails, and then, like, kind of chit-chatting about them. And while I didn't find the, like, well, whispering is always soothing, I guess. But, like, I didn't really care about that. I just found it relaxing to watch people look at magic cards for a while.
Yeah, actually, the shot here is a downward perspective shot where you just see her hands as if you were looking through her eyes. And she's got, like, a black sleeves on up to the, well, past the joints of her thumb and fingers. So you just basically see her thumb and fingers, no palm or back of her hand or anything, on a black background with this magic card booster packs. Yeah, I can definitely see how this would, I mean, this is fine. I'd be okay with this. I could probably fall asleep to this. Just kind of as an aside, do you have trouble sleeping at all?
Yeah, I stay up, like, I do, like, if I, like, just try to, like, go to sleep when I'm not tired, like, I'll just, like, I just won't go to sleep. Like, I just stay there, like, thinking about, like, stuff I could be doing in Fallout and stuff.
Yeah.
So I, like, have to go to sleep when I'm, like, super dead tired. I usually go to sleep at, like, 7 in the morning.
Yeah, and part of that is due to your, like, you have a different work schedule than most people would have.
Yeah, I do work late, so it's not like I'm getting up, going to sleep at 7 and waking up at 9 right. or anything like this.
Right, right. In my case, like, I've always had trouble sleeping, so I'll usually put on, like, an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000, like, on a laptop or a fucking, the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll, you know, find some other means to help myself get to sleep, if you catch my meaning.
I get you.
And
by listening to a logical contraption.
Yeah, that's right.
Puts you right out.
Gets me right out of there. I just fall right fucking sleep.
Mm-hmm.
All I hear is those cricket vocals on fucking gurgly mess metal music. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm ready to pass off forever.
I'm super sleepy now. JK, JK, they do a wonderful show. They're very good guys.
I'm talking more about, like, taking NyQuil to get to sleep. Okay. Or whatever it takes, really. And it's not that Mystery Science Theater is boring. It's just that Joel Hodgson has a very soothing voice, I think, is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of what gets me into sleep mode. So already, like, this stuff is kind of up my alley. Maybe I should be doing this instead.
Yeah, what do you think about some of these other ones? I sent you a few other ones.
Yeah, you got the beer taste testing one next.
Yeah.
And this one actually shows the person talking, and she starts off whispering, which is very uncomfortable because it's not like anybody else is, you know, trying to listen in on this. So it's, I think that's what disturbs me the most about it. Like, she's very attractive and she's got very cool hair. And I'm not saying that in, like, a facetious way. She's got, like, this blue tinted hair. I don't know how she did it. You know,
I'm into it. I always forever wanted to dye my hair gray in high school to be more like Sephiroth. So I'm glad that that's, like, kind of a trend now.
So, yeah, hers is gray with this blue tint, and she's got, like, this black and white striped shirt and blue eyeshadow, and it's, like, she's the most hyperly modern person I think I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's whispering, and I don't know what to make of it. Like, I'm already uncomfortable. Plus, I can see in the video that she's using a Yeti mic that already proved unsuccessful for my podcasting purposes. So I'm kind of outraged by this. But she's beer tasting. And part of this is drinking and mouth sounds.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of the video, is drinking and mouth sounds.
Yeah, and this one is like 24 minutes. So I don't want to, like, deal with this too long, because we already spent enough time on that last one. It was like an hour, well, 2 hours, right?
Yeah, that Magic Cards one, by the way, is like 2 hours the fuck long, which, like, she, like, literally has, like a brick of Magic Cards, and she's opening up literally thousands of Magic Cards, I would say.
Yeah, it's like 36 booster packs, and I'm guessing that's a lot.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that comes out to like 36 times 15, whatever that would be. Literally thousands, I think. Yeah, do you like, I know that you like fancy beers and stuff. What's this mouth sounds video doing for you?
I'm kind of disappointed that it's not like the Neil Cicierega, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Neil Cicierega mouth sounds that was released like last spring. But I'm watching her taste test one of them now. Looks like a, she says it smells like marijuana. But not like one of Beavis and Butthead's teachers.
Yeah, let's
I thought it was one of those Southern Tier beers, because it's a bomber. But now I don't know what she's doing. Oh, she's tasting it.
The Slurm Master, you know, he tastes the Slurm Frisbee.
He does.
Yeah, let me turn this up. Let me see what she's saying. Go. California wit. Orange Avenue wit. Wheat beer brewed with honey and spices. Colorado. See, that doesn't really relax me. Like, if she's just talking about normal stuff, like, it, like, I feel like maybe she has, like, a disease.
Oh, like she can't get her voice above a normal register?
Yeah, like that's kind of, yeah.
Like she's like Diane Reams on NPR, where her voice is just kind of naturally different. And you're like, what happened to her? And you're like, oh no, her voice just happened that way.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's definitely kind of weird to me. Like I feel like maybe like her parents are like abusive in the next room, so she can't talk loud.
So she has to taste test beers.
Yeah, like super quietly. Super quietly.
I'm actually okay with this. Like, I watched a clip of her tasting a beer, and I thought it'd be more dramatic, but it wasn't. It was just her, like, swig. And she's like, I taste the spices, and they're there, but it's just not my thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Because one of the creepiest things that I realized from going to beer tastings and brewing with friends is whenever people talk about mouthfeel, it's just so gross. Like, that's an actual description. Can you fucking believe that? Mouthfeel.
Yeah, they say like they say it in the movie R.I.P.D.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they talk about how they, like, they're ghosts, so they can't, like, taste food. They just like the mouthfeel.
Oh.
And I know Mike and those guys on Kissing Contest, they spend a lot of time talking about the mouthfeel of snacks.
Yeah, it's disturbing. And I know people will talk about it in an ironic way to joke about it, but it's still gross. Like, it's still like a fucking blick sort of thing. Like, out of all the things, why would you talk about mouth feel? Like, it's just, I hate it. Anyway, she doesn't do that, and I appreciate it. She's like, hey, I didn't taste these spices. And maybe she does bring it up eventually, but oof. Maybe. Right now, it's really cool. Like, she's a cool person with cool hair and is not being real shitty when talking about these beers. So I'm okay with this, actually.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's like, she's not like, you know, like bragging about like how she has like the best beer palate. Like, it's not like she's whispering like, people who drink Budweiser are pieces of shit. You know?
Right. It could be much worse for sure. But also, she's talking about all the right things. Like, hey, this beer advertises spice. I'm not really getting that much spice. That's all I need to know. Honestly. Like, give me the facts. Like, I need to know, like, what a thing your mouth was feeling when you fucking swallowed this beer. Like, that's, I'm not into that. I know if it's something is, like, unfiltered, it's going to have some debris in it. Like, yeah, that happens.
I don't want no debris.
I mean, okay. I understand that, but there's, like, there's Prairie out of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. There's New Belgium out of a few places now. Do you have New Belgium? I don't think you do on the West Coast.
Not that I've seen, but I go straight to the Budweiser and then straight back out.
You mean straight to the Steve Weiser?
Yeah, I like to crack open a nice Steve Weiser right there in the store. And, yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's how you take care of business.
That is.
And so you know how it is. Like, you go straight for what you like. And if you like the filtered, then go for the filtered. That's fine. But you talk about mouthfeel and all that gross shit. I don't really... I don't need to know that it feels like chocolate milk in your mouth. Don't tell me what your mouth feels.
Oh, actually, chocolate milk in the mouth, like, that's a good mouthfeel. Like, I really don't understand what people are talking about when they talk about mouthfeel, but... Like, chocolate milk does have, like, a pretty great mouthfeel.
All right. Well, you're a convert now, so we can never talk about mouthfeel in good company again.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You found your niche, and that's fine.
Speaking of my niche, the only one of these that I found remotely, like, relaxing is this one. I'll send it to you, Mr. Frisbee, right now. It's, like, this redheaded lady who, like, just says very nice things. And, like, pretends to wash your hair, which is always, like, a cool thing, like, when you go to get your hair cut. You know? Like, that's always relaxing, I feel, in kind of a weird way.
Yeah, in a the weird way.
Yeah, it's like relaxing, but in the way that like it feels like it shouldn't be happening in polite company.
But yeah, another whispering person for sure.
Yeah, so here's this lady. Here's she's just chatting about stuff. Let's turn this up. If it's even loud enough to pick up.
She's getting really close to the camera.
She's super close. She's just like explaining like her setup, her like her fake like beauty salon setup, which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah, and there's a lot of mouth sounds, like a lot of like saliva clicking, with which if that is not your thing, then this probably isn't your thing to begin with. Like have you ever eaten a meal with somebody else and they just smack their lips a lot and that really annoyed you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be like a red flag for any ASMR video, in my opinion. Like if you don't like that shit, then you're probably not gonna have a good time with these.
That's true.
But in this case, like the video is actually, unlike that first one we watched, she's really close. And part of that is just like, I don't know, man. Oh, well.
Well, I think the closeness is sort of relaxing.
Is it relaxing or is it something else?
Well, like if she was like washing your hair at a salon, she'd probably be that close. Maybe I just like realism in my film.
No, that's true. That could be it too.
I don't know. I mean, I'm never going to watch any of these like again, probably, but like I don't find them like too relaxing, but...
So, okay, she's obviously scratching the side of the microphone in this.
Yeah. That's pretty
That's actually kind of nice. I'm into it.
Let's see what she's talking about.
Is the entire video like this, or did you just watch this much? Because it's like an hour long.
Yeah, it's an hour long. I skimmed around through it last night.
Okay, the thing is, like, I know I'm losing hair. So as nice as she's being right now, like saying like, hey, you've got really nice hair. Like I know it's a lie because I'm thinning out pretty bad.
Nah, you got nice hair though. It's like a good look.
I appreciate that. You've also got very nice hair. I feel like I need to tell you that as well.
Well, thank you.
But I'm aware that I'm like growing older and she's just being kind because she wants me to return back to the salon, you know?
Well, I think you're being cynical. I think she's being honest because you got good hair. You got like a nice look about you. You look like a cool guy.
Well, maybe she's being honest then. Like for somebody who recorded this just for no one in particular, maybe she's being purely genuine and saying I've gotten a good hair.
I think she was probably looking at that drawing that Chuck made of you wearing the My Right to Choose shirt while she was filming the video. That's what she was working on.
Yeah. All right, I skipped ahead, and it's obviously that she's washing hair next to the camera and not, like, where your actual hair would be.
Yeah, that's true. That does take you out of it, I suppose.
Yeah, and no hair washing would take an hour. Like, maybe 8 minutes, I guess.
I think she dries it afterwards and brushes it, so I think that's part of the runtime here.
Okay.
There's this one part where she's talking about how, like, you have such great hair, and her hair isn't that great. She has to use a lot of product. And I felt like that part kind of unrelaxed me, because I was like, oh, she's really down about her hair. She's being really, really negative here. Yeah, like, oh, she probably spends so much money. So that took me out of it. But, so that's all the ASMRs. They're weird. I don't know if I believe people who say they get the tingles. If you get the tingles watching these, or if you just watch them at all, email us, poolpartyradio@gmail.com, or start a thread about it in Podcast Town. We'll see you. We'll witness you. And yeah, so we'll talk about it. But I don't know. I don't know if I'll watch any more of these. Maybe. They're kind of relaxing. I don't know.
I might, but only to fall asleep, because these kind of helped. As opposed to others, like the one I mentioned earlier, that you brought up earlier, that I had watched, that was about anxiety, was pretty interesting. And I don't know. I think that kind of was nice. I think that I would watch these if it was like, something to help me get to sleep. Probably. I don't think there's anything necessarily pornographic about these videos, though, as that email was implying.
Yeah, I'll have to check out what Michael Swaim's talking about. He seems like a pretty on it dude, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I have to, too, because I haven't been to crack.com for a while.
Yeah, I think maybe they're, like, on... Like, they're, like, three steps away from being, like, pornographic, I feel. Like, I feel like... There's probably a website that's not YouTube that has like a lot of these where it's like ladies whispering about how they're touching your ding-a-ling.
You think so?
I bet that that's probably happening somewhere.
Hmm.
And I'm going to find them and whack off to them. I tell you what. JK. That's only for heathens. We have talked a lot. We can do a super, super quick MVPP. An MVPP, if you want. Or we can save them till next time. It's up to you, Mr. Frisbee.
Sure, let's do them now.
All right, let's do them real super quick. We got the MVPP and the MVPP. This is a segment that we do now where we chronicle the week's most valuable pool partier and most valuable party pooper. I'll do my pool partier first. It's my man Peter on Twitter. This guy's going above and beyond. He told me he was explicitly... campaigning to become the MVPP, which I appreciate his honesty. He tagged one of his friends on Twitter and then told him to follow me and tagged me. And I like that kind of explicit campaigning to to get people to follow me on Twitter and listen to our podcasts. So I respect that.
That was super nice. I got the same treatment.
Oh, nice.
That was very cool. And yet you already picked them. So good on you for... making sure they got MVPP for this week.
Yeah, he's a sweet bro. What is your MVPP?
Mine's kind of general, which is a thing that we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But been kind of a weird, rough week, if I can get real with you for a second.
Let's get real.
Anybody who's moved on from this physical plane... people, especially who have partied hard, done everything that they wanted to do in this world, been super cool and whatnot. I've got one person in mind. It's too personal to bring up here, but MVPP for the week is that person. And any person that you might have who's done the same. So, yeah, people who are no longer here with us but have really kicked ass during life.
We see you, people who are no longer here, but really kicked ass during life.
We see you. We witness you.
Mm-hmm. Get money on the other side.
Exactly.
My most valuable pool party pooper is the podcast Last Podcast on the Left. I never heard of this, but people in podcast town were talking about how stupid and shitty it is, but like it's like super popular. And I was checking it out. And it's all like a bunch of like episodes about like serial killers. Like they got like a 2-part episode all about Ted Bundy. There's an episode about the goddamn Loveland frog, which is
like your thing.
Yeah.
It's your thing.
Yeah. In the early days of blogs, I spent a lot of time writing about that frog and interviewing people about him and getting kicked out of the Loveland Historical Society in Ohio.
Yeah. You got your picture taken next to the Historical Society, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Or at least like the Loveland Lake.
Yeah, there's also a castle in Loveland, Ohio, which I spent a lot of time at because it's this tiny little town, but they have this urban legend about a creepy frog, and they also have a castle. And it's like those two things can't be a coincidence, right? Like they have to go together right. In some way.
Yeah.
So I was like, holy shit, this is going to be like the best podcast in the world because it's like all the shit that I love so much. And I started listening to it, and it's like sort of them like just kind of going through the story of these things. But it's like 90% them making like the worst, like least funny, like, you know, like just real like Jay Leno shitty jokes and like doing like real obvious like improv exercises where like you can tell they're yes anding and like doing funny specifics and like all the stuff that like, you know, is on your like improv class checklist, like doing like these characters and. Having a conflict when you're both doing a character and all this, like, and it's so bad. Like they'll be talking about all this interesting stuff, Like, they'll be, you know, they'll be talking about, oh, Ted Bundy, you know, he smashed in four girls' faces with a brick in one night, you know. And it's like, oh, shit, that's horrific. And then they'll, you know, like, just launch into, like, some dumb character that's like, hey, I'm the cop here in this town in Florida that Ted Bundy's from, and I like to eat shit. But it's like, not even that. Like, that's funny. Eating shit is funny. But, like, it's just stuff like that that's, like, and it's, like, it's just, like, so horrible and dumb. Like, I can't even put it into words, like, because I can't even, my brain doesn't even want to think about something that unfunny.
That's a bummer, man. I know how that is. When, well, in this case, people already hyped you to the fact that it was not funny. You're like, well, I gotta check this out for myself. And you anticipate to be like, you know, groundbreaking or something, but it's not. That's a bummer. I'm sorry for your lots.
Yeah, it's like real bad. Like, all of their characters are either like, you know, inbred Southerners or lazy Mexicans. You know, like, they find a way to inject lazy Mexicans into, like, every story that they're doing. It's, like, really, like, that kind of level of comedy, you know?
Yeah, my face is actually wincing at this. That's not just my voice coming over the podcast. That's, I'm actually physically upset by that. That's a bummer.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, if you can make a joke about lazy Mexicans, like, if you can make that work, fine. You know, Amy Schumer makes it work. But... like, I mean, like, I don't understand why you got to make a lazy Mexicans joke in the middle of this Ted Bundy story, for fuck's sake. It doesn't fit. You just, yeah, it's just a voice you can kind of do, so you're doing it.
That's, I don't know what to say for you. It's kind of a bummer.
I'm going to keep listening, though.
I'm going to try to check it out, too. Last podcast on the left?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give it a shot just to see for myself what it's like.
Yeah, I'll try to transcribe some of their shittier jokes. Like, it's just, like, all this, like, awful, like, you know, like, they'll be like, well, when the cops were searching for Ted Bundy, why didn't they just find Lassie and ask Lassie if Timmy was stuck in a well? Like, it's shit like that. Like, shit that's just, like, the oldest possible, like, shittiest references. Like, yeah, I'll transcribe some to let you know what I'm...
I think I'm good. I'm not going to check out that show. You just convinced me that that's not worth listening to. If that's one of the jokes, I'm done already.
Yeah, it's like seriously stuff like that. Like, it's like, you know, well, when Jim Jones was doing, you know, his Jonestown massacre, why didn't he just jump in a white Bronco and speed off?
I think it might have gone something like this.
That's exactly it, yeah. Okay. And then it'll be like a guy like, hey, I'm Jim Jones. You guys should commit suicide. And then it'll be another guy like, what if we were stuck in a submarine, Jim Jones? And then everybody has to yes and being stuck in a submarine. So now they're in a submarine. Oh,
God. Okay. But none of this is actually Justin Roiland, though, because from your voice, I'm excited because it sounds like Justin Roiland.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Answer My Eyes Johnson. I got Answer My Eyes. I can't see a thing.
Yeah, it's not funny like Justin Roiland. They're not talking about eating shit like Justin Roiland. They're just, yeah, that's just, you know, I like doing Justin Roiland's voice.
Who doesn't? But yeah, I see where you're coming from. Like, it's not even that fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
horrible. What is yours?
My MVPP is anybody who does, like, Fury Road, and it's a given for the way we talked about the film earlier. But with that out of the way, I'd also like to give a shout-out, if I may.
Of course.
We got a new member of Podcast Town. It's PJ Ehlers from Planned Brotherhood.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's the honorary and most prestigious MVPP of the week. This dude fucking rules. Planned Brotherhood was a great podcast. He's got another one called I'm Dying Here that everybody should check out. Check it on iTunes. I'm Dying Here. It's kind of a podcast about having to deal with like some sort of terminal cancer. But I guarantee you this guy is worth checking out. So awesome stuff there. Check that out. I'm Dying Here. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to that. I like Planned Brotherhood a lot. It's a podcast, one of those that's not on the internet anymore. Like, all the archives have gone away, which is, like, a bummer. And when we started doing Pool Party, I told you that we, you know, like that was like kind of an influence. And that was like the, like one of the first podcasts that I think you listened to. I don't think you were listening to podcasts when we first started this podcast, but you got hooked on the Planned Brotherhood, if I remember correctly.
You are not mistaken. I messaged this dude and told him, like, not to be like a creep, but Planned Brotherhood was what convinced me that podcasts were a legitimate thing, like that they could. It showed me that podcasts had promise from the way that they did it and the way that they produced it and everything. It's extremely good. You know, I'm sad if you missed out on it, but it was probably one of the best things I've listened to. And I'm glad that this guy is in podcast town and he's still podcasting. So definitely check that out. There are other podcasts available. It was he and his brother, obviously, with Planned Brotherhood that used to do it. His brother has a couple named The Grapes of Rad and The Leap Home, colon, A Look Bakula, like Scott Bakula.
That's funny.
And those are, I can guarantee, are worth checking out too. But yeah, all three of those. Good stuff. So check them out.
Check them out. We know you like podcasts.
Yeah, you're listening to this shit, so get on it.
Get on it. Go listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's everything, right?
I think so.
I think we got through it all. Next week, we'll be back. We'll be talking about the Moo, the TV shows that we picked, or we'll be Shot in the Face, one of the two.
Yeah.
Go to poolpartyradio.com. You can listen to all the episodes there. They're all there. Every single one. And there are no links to our friends on that website anymore, though, sadly. So, whoops.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I told you last week. I took them all down. Because I hate them.
Oh, on the website. Sorry, I thought you meant on iTunes.
Oh, no. On the website, yeah. Well, they're all there on iTunes. Everybody's review us on the iTunes. Give us some 5-star ratings. That'll help the show. And, yeah, if you go to iTunes, it says all our good podcast bros that we're friends with on the listeners also Don Lloyd part, which is cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We're there. We're making yuck-em-ups. Search for Podcast Town and ask to join. Someone will let you in. Follow Frisbee on Twitter at Cumulus Frisbee.
And follow Parker at Final Parker.
Mm-hmm. And go to junkfooddinner.com and click on the left on the Ghoul Summer shirts and buy one. Because, you know, that's how I buy Hot Pockets. Yeah, I can't have them otherwise.
And, TBH and IMO and FR, most of our podcast bros have some sort of paraphernalia that you can wear and prove to others that you actually listen to podcasts and aren't just listening to some bullshit music on your earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
So try those out.
Yeah.
Kissing Contest just released one that looks fucking sweet.
Mm-hmm.
If you liked Dead Kennedys when you were youngin', but think they're bullshit now, that might be good.
Well, I think they're still sweet. I'll listen to them.
Well, even if you still like them.
I like them.
That's all right. You can still check them out.
All right. I'll buy that shirt then.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. But yeah, join us.
Just join us. Join us. Witness us. We'll witness you.
Witness us. And is there anything else that we need?
Nope.
Okay.
This is Parker for Cumulus saying thanks for having the fun.
All right. PoolPartyRadio.com.